celebrated in a woman's life. Writer and author Brittany Bergman says, and I quote her, "Pregnancy is not just a physical transformation, but there is also an emotional and spiritual journey taking place when a woman is becoming a mother." In her book entitled Expecting Wonder, The Transformative Experience of Becoming a Mother, Bergman explores the physical, the emotional, and spiritual transformation of pregnancy with wit and grace by sharing her own experience of fear, change, and hope with childbirth to offer expectant mothers a snapshot of the miracle that God worked, not just in her body, but also in her soul. Historically, Mother's Day has been celebrated more often than Father's Day. In fact, statistics reveal that on Mother's Day, more flowers are sold and more money spent in comparison to Father's Day. And so let me pause and say Happy Father's Day to the fathers. And it goes on to say that mothers receive extravagant gifts, are treated to fancy dinners at upscale restaurants, while some fathers believe that Father's Day is treated as an afterthought based upon the same boring gifts they receive year after year. I'll pause again. Happy Father's Day. It seems as though Father's Day just cannot catch a break. It seems as though fathers just can't catch a break. Forgive me for that one. And if you have a pen and a paper, write this down. Society as a whole needs to do better when it comes to celebrating men. Not just on Father's Day, but every day. It is men who I have seen hold the hands of their wives during childbirth. It is men who work a 9-to-5 to provide for their families. It is men who fix everything from a broken sink to hanging a door to keep the household expenses down. It is men who I have had the blessing to see serve the Lord faithfully. Church, this morning I invite you to walk with me through the text in Genesis 21, 8 through 21, where we'll meet one father, Abraham, who God proclaimed to be the father of many nations, two mothers, Sarah and Hagar, and two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. To give the story context, the Bible records in Genesis 18, that Abraham and Sarah both were very old and far beyond the age of having a child. Nevertheless, God promised Sarah and Abraham she would bear a son in her old age. Fast forward into our scripture for today. We catch up with Sarah and see that her anxiety has gotten the best of her, prompting her to help God out by asking Abraham to have relations with Hagar. This was the start of what would eventually become a bigger mess. Now hold on to your hats, because in this pericope of scripture, we will also witness that even when life gets messy, God's intervention, redemption, grace, and divine promises are at work. Just wait, we will see and understand this clearly as the story of the scriptures unfold. Now, in the earlier part of this chapter, we witness Sarah start a mess, but something else happens too. Listen to what Genesis 21 and 1 through 5 says. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant. And she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. And Abraham named their son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Amazing, right? But nevertheless, unbeknownst to Abraham and Hagar, Sarah was about to stir up some more mess when she saw Ishmael playing with and supposedly mocking Isaac. While Isaac's name meant laughter, Sarah did not see this as a laughing matter. She became frustrated, annoyed, and concerned at the prospect that Ishmael could potentially upstage Isaac's position as heir to receive the promised inheritance. Duly noted, having her own child did not seem enough, so Sarah felt threatened, which led her to ask her husband Abraham to get rid of the handmaiden Hagar and her son Ishmael. I could not help but ask myself, who does that? But however, I quickly realized Sarah, because she was an emotional wreck. She was anxious, she was insecure, she was impatient, jealous, and fearful. Anyhow, like a nice husband, Abraham complies with Sarah's request once again, and the mess continues. Now, Hagar and her son Ishmael were tossed in the wilderness and found themselves dying of thirst. If you know anything about the wilderness, it is often seen as a dry place, a scary place, a barren place, a dark and dreary place. However, the wilderness can also be a place where God has our full attention. And so, church, there are a few things that are significant about Hagar's wilderness experience. Number one, when she found herself in the wilderness, I believe Hagar did what any mother would do. She cries out. She doesn't just cry out to anyone. She cries out to God. And not only does God hear Hagar's cry, but he heard Ishmael cry as well. And that's just like God, because God is omniscient, meaning God knows all, sees all, and hears all. And number two, in this particular wilderness moment, Hagar got to know God as a God who loved her and truly cared for her. To honor God, she called the fountain where God met her Beer Lahani Roy, which means a God who sees me. And yes, God saw that she had a problem and intervene. And to draw from the New Testament theology, in Matthew 9:36, Jesus demonstrated deep compassion for people who had problems by having great pity for the crowds that came, because their problems were so great that they didn't know where to get help from. The scripture says they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so, church, in the same manner, Jesus our Lord also has compassion on us and wants us to come to him for help with our problems. Have you ever had a problem that was so overwhelming, was the only thing you could do is call a name on the name of the Lord? Well, if you haven't, David did. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalms 18:6. He exclaimed, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." And this proves again that we can call upon the Lord too, with confidence, knowing that he hears us, because God's ears are open to our pleas, and he will respond, I guarantee you, when our lives get messy. And speaking of a mess, it's only by the grace of God that the United States of America were able to get out of the messy war with Iran. It's all over the news. And so we've heard that there were some negotiations made and documents signed. However, I am foolish enough to believe that it was the power of prayer that changed the hearts of the leaders to bring an end to this messy situation. Okay, I'll leave that one alone and move on to a lighter subject. I have a question for you. Have you ever watched a toddler eat? Well, they can be quite messy. But they are still developing their coordination to hold a fork or a spoon. And sometimes the two are not communicating with each other. So they find themselves making a mess, and food is all over them. It often appears like their mouth and their hands just won't coordinate in the same manner. And so a toddler's area when they're eating is not the cleanest place that we can see. And like a mother that swoops in to clean up her toddler's mess, God can clean up the messes we make or are placed in and turn them into something magnificent, magical, and even a masterpiece. This is what God did for Hagar and Ishmael. The scriptures bear witness that Hagar did not belong to the people of God. But nevertheless, when she needed help, the Lord saw and protected her. In fact, Hagar fled twice from her master. The first time when she was pregnant, and the second when Sarah drove her away. Both times she landed in difficulties in the desert, and both times God protected and provided for her. Now don't forget, this also applies to Abraham and Sarah. God allowed Sarah to conceive, have a child in her old age, and kept his promise that their son Isaac would be heir to the promise. And because Sarah, Hagar, Ishmael, Isaac, and Abraham witnessed in Genesis 21, today we also receive God's promise, protection, and provision in our lives, just as they did. And as I close the sermon for this morning, I believe that there are a few things that we can learn from today's scripture. As people, sometimes we make mistakes too, creating a mess. But God also keeps his promises and always cares for his children. And also, when we belong to the Lord, we can be sure that God sees each of us as we are today. He knows when things are difficult. He hears us every time we call upon him, and he stands ready to help us. I tell you the truth, there is no one more compassionate, more capable, more comforting, and more caring than God to help you and I. And just in case we need witnesses, we ask King David to step up to the podium. David's lust for Bathsheba created a mess when he had Bathsheba's husband, Uzziah, placed on the front line in battle, and he was killed. But the Bible says that David repented, and he was a man after God's own heart. And now we ask Paul to step to the podium. Paul, who once persecuted the Christians, made a mess, but later had a supernatural encounter on the Damascus Road and became the greatest evangelist for the cause of Jesus Christ. And now, finally, we ask Peter to step up to the podium. Peter, who denied Christ three times before the crow cropped, before the crow cocked three times. But later, the Lord said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Three men. Do I got three fingers up? Three men whose lives were messy, but God used them in spite of the mess they created. And so perhaps you need God's help and assistance right now because your life is in a mess. Don't worry. Hagar has given you and I an example to follow. If we are in a tight corner, we can call on God because he's always there for us. And just as he helped Hagar when she found herself in a mess that Sarah created, that drove her into the wilderness, God will be there for us. And that's good news. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.